Feed me. Feed me more. Feed me more.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Spoilers, episode 64 for March 22nd, 2013. My name is Ben Gartland, here at a special late-night edition of Spoilers Podcast, joined by my awesome co-host, Graham Matthews. What's going on, man?
Welcome to the most must-listen radio show on a Friday night, folks, or any night of the week, for that matter. The only place where you hear us talk about Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, WrestleMania 29, NXT, WWE Superstars, Saturday Morning Slam, TNA Impact Wrestling, ECW, Heat, Velocity, Nitro, Thunder, and everything else in between. This is Spoilers Podcast Edition number 64.
I can tell you've been practicing that for a while. That was very good. All right, so we're only a few weeks from WrestleMania now, and the shows are starting to get really intense. We have a Monday Night Raw that was only before we get started with the results, what was your kind of overall impression of the show?
Well, I was a bit disappointed with this week's edition, as well as SmackDown. WWE TV this week was not as it has been in past weeks. I was a bit disappointed with it, especially with WrestleMania less than 3 weeks away, 2 weeks from this upcoming Sunday. So that being said, I was expecting a bit more out of this week's Raw, but nonetheless, we got the undercard established for WrestleMania, which was good to see. The action wasn't all that memorable. In my personal opinion, the last half hour of the show was really entertaining. That's what entertained me the most. Everything else was pretty much filler, dragged on, not enjoyable, not booked well. But even still, with 2 weeks remaining until WrestleMania, I have high hopes for the next two editions of Monday Night Raw going forward.
Yeah, and well, I have to have high hopes for Monday Night Raw going forward. They really cannot afford a bad episode going into WrestleMania, and really WrestleMania season will provide for some good material. So, in my opinion, they would kind of have to try to mess it up. So, but it should be good in the next couple of weeks. But this show wasn't much to write home about, and we'll get started with the results here. We had John Cena come out and talk first. He gave a little promo, and then we had a match, Darren Young versus John Cena. John Cena won that one, a quick match there. Then we had Ryback taking on David Otunga. Ryback won that one. Fandango versus the Great Khali. That match, of course, never got started. And then we had R-Truth taking on Damian Sandow. R-Truth won by countout. And then we had Undertaker come out and talked about CM Punk and CM Punk, and they went back and forth in a promo. This feud looking really good. We'll talk about that later. Primo and Epica taking on the tag team champions of Kane and Daniel Bryan. The champions win there in a non-title match. Kane choked himself up for the win there. And then Chris Jericho was backstage. Josh Matthews, he talked about their Intercontinental Championship and the match led to tonight. And it looks like that match is going to happen at WrestleMania. We had Cody Rhodes taking on Alberto Del Rio. Pretty nice match there. Alberto Del Rio, the winner there, after he missed Cody Taps with a cross arm breaker. Then we had Randy Orton and Sheamus versus 3MB. We had Sheamus and Randy Orton won that after Orton hit the RKO on Heath Slater. And Sheamus hit a bro kick on Jinder Mahal. Andrew McIntyre, still dominating win for them. Kofi Kingston taking on Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler wins that one. And a triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz versus Chris Jericho versus Wade Barrett. Very nice match there. Wade Barrett wins that one. And then we had Triple H come out for the WrestleMania 29 contract ended between him and Brock Lesnar. That one, of course, gets heated, and there's going to be a stipulation, no holds barred for that match at WrestleMania 29, and that ends the show. So what do you think about this show and the different aspects of the undercard really being made in this episode.
Well, like I was saying before, the overall episode wasn't all that entertaining, and I was a bit disappointed, as I was saying before, the last three editions of Monday Night Raw, the old school episode last week and I believe the week after, or the show with the John Cena and CM Punk match, and that show is also really good. So the last three Raws have been very solid, with the exception of this week's. As I was also saying before, the last half an hour of the show, as you just mentioned, the triple threat match of the Intercontinental Championship, extremely entertaining. Love that match. Definitely, undoubtedly, the match of the week. In the contract signing, I probably enjoyed that more than most people. That feud has been pleasantly surprising up to that point. Up to this point, between Triple H and Brock Lesnar, have been really enjoying that feud. But as well as the undercard for WrestleMania. Now, although the overall episode of Raw this past week wasn't all that great as a whole, as far as entertainment value goes, as you were just saying, the undercard for WrestleMania with matches such as The Shield versus Big Show, Sheamus, and Ryback. I'm sorry, Big Show, Sheamus, and Randy Orton. Ryback versus Mark Henry, the Tag Team Championship match. I believe those are the three matches that were confirmed on Monday night. But, yes, with all those matches being confirmed for shows in a few weeks, as long as we finally got those confirmed, it's something to look forward to. I mean, it's a bit late in the game to start confirming them at this point, but even still, as long as we get them now, that's all that matters, and that's something to build off of in a few weeks in Raw. But just a major disappointment from the biggest disappointment for me this week is the fact that The Rock wasn't there again. I mean, I understand that he wasn't there last week, but you got to take under consideration, he was there more times last year and the year before, and he wasn't even WWE champion. Well, this year it's a bit different. He's a WWE champion. What I just read, he's on Jay Leno just recently. I don't know, he was doing some media appearance, something like this, but from what I know, I didn't watch it, but from what I know, he didn't bring the championship with him. He didn't even promote WrestleMania. He didn't even promote the WWE. He made no mention of it whatsoever. So that was a bit strange. And with that being said, I mean, The Rock is the biggest star of this right now that's not actively appearing on all the shows. And he should be actively promoting WrestleMania 29, which is in just weeks. And with him being the WWE champion, you would think that he'd be promoting WrestleMania. And being off Raw for two straight weeks is just simply unexcusable. He has to be there to promote this match with John Cena. I mean, John Cena's promo to kick off the show was exceptional, but the whole primetime players garbage, I mean, as much as I love the primetime players, I had no idea what they were doing with that whole segment with Pancake Patterson and all that crap, but I had no idea where they were going with that at all. But even, I mean, John Cena versus The Rock, I guess they're just hoping that the match sells itself at WrestleMania. Greatness versus redemption thing. But even still, I mean, you need to at least make an effort to build that match. I mean, from a few weeks ago on Old School Raw was fantastic. Their video package that aired last week was excellent. But they need to actively promote that matchup. I mean, I don't want to see them take jabs at it like they did last year and the year before. But even still, they need to have Rock on the show. I understand that it's going to be their next week afterwards, the final two Raws before WrestleMania. But really has not been the best road to WrestleMania up to this point. I mean, I could be wrong. The show could be fantastic, and I have a higher hope for the event than I did before, but at this point in time, the event is looking less appealing. I mean, I like the matches that are on the card from Ryback and Mark Henry to Triple H Brock Lesnar to CM Punk versus The Undertaker. All those matches are great on paper, but the overall event could produce something along the lines of WrestleMania 27, which was disappointing in itself. So, yeah, those are my brief thoughts this week's episode of Monday Night Raw.
What's becoming painfully obvious to me in terms of The Rock is that he goes on Jay Leno and he promotes his G.I. Joe movie, or whatever movie he's doing now, and he promotes his new show that's coming out on, I think it's True TV or something like that. But he doesn't promote WrestleMania. He doesn't promote the WWE Championship. It's becoming painfully obvious that the WWE is paying him the big bucks, and all it is to him is just a side project. It's something on his agenda. And it's really annoying to me. I mean, he can at least bring the belt with him. I mean, you look, when the Miz on talk shows, when he was the big champion, he dropped his title everywhere. You can see the difference on how many people, on how much he actually cares about the WWE. And you know what? I get really annoyed with someone who doesn't thing to care about the WWE being the champion. I don't care if you're The Rock. I don't care if you're one of the greatest superstars in the history of wrestling. If you're not going to show the world that you care about this company, then you do not deserve to be champion. Plain and simple as that. And that's why I'm going to be firmly rooting for Cena to win at WrestleMania, which I think he will, and I hope he will.
Very much agreed. I mean, given the fact that he wasn't there on Raw, I mean, that's understandable, but if he's going to be going on mainstream shows such as Jay Leno and whatnot, he should be at least promoting WrestleMania. I mean, the belt thing's okay. He doesn't have to bring the WWE Championship belt. I'm okay with that. But the fact that he didn't even mention WrestleMania, or much less WWE itself, is just disgraceful, especially given the fact that he's current WWE Champion. And I mean, that's one of the reasons, or one of the benefits of him being WWE Champion in the first place. I went to the movie theaters a couple weeks ago, and I saw about five movie pictures from five movie trailers with The Rock starring in each and every single one of them. So with him being WWE Champion, you would think that it benefits the WWE, with him being, you know, mainstream and whatnot, that it would get more mainstream attention for WrestleMania. At this point in time, it's not doing jack squat because he's not promoting the event whatsoever. I mean, I know he's carried around the belt at some venues that he's gone to in recent weeks, but I mean, the Jay Leno thing is just simply unexcusable. He needs to be promoting WrestleMania. That's what guys like The Miz, John Cena, CM Punk, many others do when they're going on all these talk shows and whatnot. They're promoting WrestleMania. The Rock is the biggest guy that they have on that card, and the fact that he's not even promoting the event that he's going to be headlining is, I'm just speechless by his actions. I mean, I don't hate The Rock, and like you were saying, I'm looking forward to watching John Cena defeat him at WrestleMania WWE Championship. Maybe that's the whole goal of this entire thing, to make people cheer John Cena, but I don't think that's going to be the ultimate outcome, and I don't think John Cena is still going to be outrageously cheered at WrestleMania when he wins the WWE Championship. I still think he's going to be booed regardless, but even still, The Rock's participation in this feud, or lack thereof, is extremely disappointing.
Oh, definitely. And what it says about the WWE Championship, it totally tears down the legitimacy of the WWE Championship. He has the title now, but he doesn't wear it around. He almost just tosses it aside. And you've got all these people who are working and working and working for years to try and get a crack at the WWE title. He just, I don't know, it seems like he doesn't care at all, and that just really annoys me. If he's going to come back, he needs to put a lot more effort into promoting WrestleMania and not just promoting himself.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't understand why he's sticking around after WrestleMania. Maybe if they're doing WrestleMania rematch at Extreme Rules, I don't think they're going that route like we said last week. I think they're just going to do maybe a triple threat with Punk or something along those lines, but I mean, even still, he's not doing much to promote WrestleMania, and it's a damn shame, too, because he was doing a lot to promote the event in the last 2 years of WrestleMania 27 when he was guest hosting, and last year with his match with John Cena. It just seems like their match last year was so much better built, and I mean, the whole promos and the trash talking, of course that was terrible. I didn't enjoy that in the slightest, but it seemed like they were doing much more to build that match up, and I understand why they did, because it was the first time ever. A dream match between Johnson and The Rock. They built it a year in advance. But even still, I mean, the rematch should be just as heavily promoted. It's for the WWE Championship this time around. It should be even more important than their match last year. So, I mean, the lack of build for this matchup is extremely appalling. I mean, given the fact that John Cena was involved too, and he didn't do anything on Raw this week noteworthy either. He just faced the primetime players in the first 5 minutes of the show in a squash match, and we never heard anything from him for the rest of the remainder of the show. So that was surprising, too. But maybe we'll get some two hot segments on the next few episodes of Raw, or I really, really hope so. But up to this point, yeah, the match isn't all that intriguing. I mean, John Cena losing and whatnot, I guess, is an intriguing thought. And there was even a rumor going around this past week that John Cena would be turning heel and joining the Shield. I highly, highly, highly doubt that. Some people were seriously asking me that question, which was exactly if John Cena would indeed be turning heel at WrestleMania. I do not see that happening in the slightest. I think that's a very far-fetched idea. I could see him turning heel, like David mentioned last week on the show, but I just don't see him joining the Shield. I don't think the Shield needs him. John Cena doesn't need the Shield. The Shield doesn't need him. They don't need a leader. That's how the Nexus was ruined with CM Punk. I mean, as much as I love the new Nexus, or as much as I love the original Nexus, they never needed CM Punk as and I love CM Punk. He never really needed them. So that should be kind of a time teller, or, you know, a teller as to what's going to happen with the Shield if they were to align with John Cena. But, I mean, I'm getting way off track here, and I digress. But even still, the match at WrestleMania between Rock and Cena, and someone mentioned this to me just last week, too. What else are they going to do to make the in-ring match just as good as last year's? I mean, last year's match wasn't a five-star classic, but it was solid, in my opinion, and they made the most out of it. But what are they going to do to outshine that match from last year, especially given the fact that John Cena just competed in a five-star match on Raw with CM Punk? So how are they going to outlast that match as well? So the stakes are high for this match, although the outcome is extremely predictable. The build isn't really helping it, but I guess we'll just have to see in the next 2 weeks on Raw.
I guess we will have to see now. I think I really do not see a John Cena heel turn in WrestleMania. What's more likely is a Raw heel turn. In my opinion, just to show that there's no way in hell they're going to turn Cena. Absolutely no way. And we're trying to figure out what they're going to do at Extreme Rules with The Rock confirmed. That's where I actually could see him turn heel. If someone's going to turn heel, they're going to join the Shield, and that's going to be the match at Extreme Rules. And I think that it's going to be, if they indeed go that route with either Cena turning heel or Rock turning heel, joining the Shield, I think that could be a pretty cool match at Extreme Rules. But you said earlier how this year's match was as important as last year's. I would venture to say that's even more important. One, The Rock is having his first WWE Championship reign in about, I think it's like 8 years or something. Cena has not had the WWE Championship in about a year and a half. These are two faces of the company from different generations who are going to be facing off for the WWE title, the one thing that unites them as faces of the company. And this match is so extremely important. It's a history-making match. It needs to be promoted well. And the fact that it's not just irks me to no end.
Exactly. And, I mean, I don't think the championship itself is benefiting from the feud either. I think if they just kept it straight with the feud from last year, you know, if they just did it non-title, I think it would have been just fine. I mean, as you just said, John Cena hasn't held a championship in over a year and a half. The Rock hasn't held the WWE title in nearly 10 years since before he left the company back in 2002. But even still, I don't think this match needs a championship. We saw that last year. Remember all the rumblings going to last year's matchup? Yeah, everyone thought that matchup was going to be for the WWE championship. Thankfully, it wasn't. It was much better without it. It never needed it. The Jericho-Punk matchup benefited much more from that than it did from Rock and Cena. So, thankfully, the match last year was not non-title, or it was non-title. This year it is. But even still, John Cena winning the championship, I've said this many times before, I'm going to be fine with him winning the championship at WrestleMania, but the fact that the WWE champion is nowhere to be seen on Raw each week is just appalling. I mean, I understand that he has a movie schedule and whatnot, but as I said before, he made more appearances last year and the year before that than he has this year, and this year he's WWE champion. So I just don't see how that works out. He should have made more time in the road to WrestleMania than this. I mean, he made more appearances prior to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view than he has in the road to WrestleMania. There's about 7 buzz he's maybe appeared on, maybe 2 of them, 2 or 3 of them, tops. So that's disappointing. And I will continue to say this, but I think the CM Punk-Undertaker feud would have benefited much more from the WWE Championship had they kept the championship on CM Punk. I said this many months ago, but if they just did John Cena versus The Rock 2 at WrestleMania without the championship, it'd be fine. But I guess WWE wanted to boost some buy rate or wanted to add an extra layer to this matchup that wasn't there before, so they threw the championship on Rock and they wanted to give him a special moment. But even still, I think still having the streak versus streak match at WrestleMania with Undertaker taking on the WWE Champion CM Punk would have benefited that feud much more as well. I mean, especially given the fact that feud right now is all about Paul Bearer. We were talking about it last week. I mean, I thought it was a good idea last week, and it still is now, but the way it was executed on this week's Raw, not as great as last week. It was kind of done in mediocre fashion. The segment that they had with CM Punk and Taker was kind of kept brief, but it wasn't bad by any means. It just wasn't all that intriguing, and they're kind of making CM Punk to look like a chicken shit heel at this point in time, which I don't understand, especially given the fact that he held the WWE title for 434 days. But that's another thing, too, that disappoints me, that feud could have heavily benefited for that WWE Championship at WrestleMania, where CM Punk would have actually looked like a threat going into WrestleMania, seeing how CM Punk has lost a match, and God knows how long as WWE Champion, his 500-day reign as WWE Champion versus Taker's 20-0 streak to WrestleMania. That would have been epic. And then you still could have had Rock versus Cena without the title, and it wouldn't have mattered, because the champion is never on Raw regardless. But that's only my sense regarding that.
I almost disagree with you. If this match did not have the title involved in it, it would look a lot like the WWE was just desperate trying to get these buy rates by having Rock versus Cena again. Now, with the title involved, they have something to actually fight for instead of just pride. And I kind of like that. I actually think this feud needed it a lot more than Undertaker CM Punk needed it. Now, Undertaker versus CM Punk, for the title, that is originally what I wanted. But now, looking back in hindsight, I really think that Rock Cena needs this title, because otherwise, what is it for? Rock is never there anyways. They need to have something to keep the feud along. Otherwise, it's just going to favor Cena the entire time. At least now The Rock has the WWE title, and it adds a lot more interest to the feud.
That's true, especially given the fact that you're emphasizing the fact that John Cena hasn't held the championship in quite a while, but even still, I mean, if the match wasn't for the championship, I wouldn't mind as much, given the fact that they're building up the fact that John Cena had a down year in 2012, and during the course of their video package, they highlighted all of his numerous losses, from losing to, or being attacked by Brock Lesnar, losing to John Laurinaitis, losing to CM Punk on various occasions, losing to Dolph Ziggler at TLC. That was a great video package, given the fact that they highlighted his down year in 2012, and this could have been his redemption year. He doesn't really need the WWE he doesn't need the WWE Championship. Again, I wouldn't mind him if he did win it, but even still, I think the point of this matchup, regardless of whether it's over the championship or not, the whole point of this matchup is to give Cena that one win over The Rock. They said it numerous times, but John Cena said that his down spiral, his downfall last year, was due at the hands of The Rock, due to his defeat of The Rock at WrestleMania 28. So I think the championship is a nice touch, and that's the only thing they could have changed about this feud, make it better than last year. But, past this point, I don't think there's no way in hell you can do a John Cena versus Rock 3 at this point. I mean, if we were going to get that at WrestleMania 30, I'd be extremely, extremely surprised and disappointed, because as we were talking about last week, CM Punk versus Stone Cold, Rock versus Lesnar, and Cena versus Taker are three matches that I want to see at WrestleMania 30 that need to happen. Cena versus Rock, the only way we're ever going to see another rematch is if either one of those guys turns heel. You were mentioning before that Rock could turn heel, but as stale as he is, I mean, as much as we are kind of annoyed by him by not being at Raw sometimes, I don't think he'll ever turn him heel, given how over he is with the WWE Universe. I know some members of the IWC may not all be happy with him at the moment, but he is way more over than John Cena is at the moment as far as reaction goes. So there's no way in hell they're going to be turning him heel. As intriguing as it would be, and they could be, you know, they could do something along the lines of his Hollywood thing that he did back in 2003, you know, the Hollywood version of Rock. They could do something similar to that, but that was when they were turning on him and whatever. That was a different time. They're not doing that now, but even so, I think that's the only way we're ever going to see a John Cena versus Rock 3. Not saying I want to see it, but that's the only way we're ever going to see another rematch between the two. As long as if it's going to happen at SummerSlam and just not WrestleMania, I'm content. But hopefully it's just a be-all, end-all. Cena wins at WrestleMania. Just give the handshake, hug, whatever, which I thought we were going to see last year, more than likely happening this year. Just end the feud there and just move on with Cena as champion. Maybe do a triple threat at Extreme Rules. Maybe you just do Cena and Rock versus The Shield, which I don't think is necessary, but it's very possible. I guess we'll see, but only time will tell. But as far as right now, as far as the feud goes into WrestleMania, they just need to kick in the high gear in the final 2 weeks of Raw in order to make me really, really care about this matchup and really get me excited for WrestleMania 29.
Yeah, the what I kind of see I lost my train of thought, but the way that The Rock character is and has been booked forever, if he loses to Cena at WrestleMania, there's no way ego of that character will allow him to not be John Cena at WrestleMania 30. There is absolutely no way that it would happen if Cena wins.
That's true. I mean, if Cena were to win, I guess it's possible that they could do a rematch, but yeah, I just don't see the point in doing so. I mean, this past week's Raw is just a primary example of why they can't. They have nothing left to do with this feud. They had nothing to do with John Cena. I mean, last year when The Rock was on the show, they had John Cena cut a promo on The Rock and, you know, take shots at him and whatever. But they've done everything in the book. There's nothing left for them to do. So they put John Cena in a throwaway match against Darren Young. That's the best thing they have for John Cena. That's the best thing they have for one of the WrestleMania headliners this year. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's no way in hell to be able to do another match between these two unless they turn either guy heel. But as I said before, that's highly unlikely at this point in time.
Yeah, it is highly unlikely. But I just don't know. It'll be very interesting to see how they progress because they've almost taken themselves into a corner with this match. I don't know. WWE loves to do things in threes. They always love to have that third rubber match, and I have a bad feeling that they're going to have a third rubber match at WrestleMania 30 between these two, unless, of course, Rock retains the title at WrestleMania. If not, then I could see the feud moving on, Rock losing the title at Extreme Rules, either Cena or someone else, but they could be, but that's where I could see it happening. I just don't see them not having a rematch if Cena wins at 29.
That's true. I mean, my only concern is, too, I mean, if you really think about it, The Rock has been back in the WWE since February of 2011. Over the course of the last 2 years, the only person he's feuded with is John Cena. I mean, if you disregard CM Punk, and that was a good feud, but that was still kind of happening when he was still feuding with John Cena. That was just kind of in the meantime. If you disregard the whole Awesome Truth thing, that was a mere 3 week terrible feud back in 2011. Disregarding all of that, John Cena has been the primary opponent for The Rock since his return. I mean, there's other guys that he can face. Someone proposed to me earlier today, The Rock versus Randy Orton, which I don't think would be all that bad of an idea if Randy Orton was a heel again. If you do Legend versus Legend Killer, I don't think that'd be bad of an idea. As I said before, you could do Brock Lesnar versus The Rock at WrestleMania. I know we've seen that match before. We saw it back at SummerSlam 2002. That was The Rock's last match in WWE before taking a hiatus. So I could see that happening, especially over the championship. I don't think it's the greatest idea to have a two part-timers fighting over the championship at WrestleMania, but even still, it's likely. I just want to see some fresh, a fresh batch of opponents for The Rock going forward. I mean, the only guy that he's really feuded with up to this point is John Cena. I mean, CM Punk to an extent, but John Cena has been the primary opponent for The Rock the entire time because after his feud with Punk was over, he set his sights right back on John Cena. So that's what I mean. There's a whole other roster of guys from The Rock defeated, and this is what I'm talking about. I mean, you have all these blockbuster matches set in stone for WrestleMania featuring the likes of Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Undertaker, The Rock, all those part-timers. But look at the guys, look at the young guys that are still uprising from the WWE roster, guys like Damian Sandow, guys like Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Zack Ryder, and Tony Cesaro, Wade Barrett, The Miz. What are you doing with those guys? What are you doing with those guys at WrestleMania? None of them have a clear match set in stone for WrestleMania at this point in time. That's what I'm concerned about. All those guys are more than likely going to be thrown in some throwaway tag team match or battle royal or some garbage like that, where they really should be having a match at WrestleMania. And that's another concern of mine, too. I mean, you got all these part-timers. I know they draw money and whatever, but what about the future? What about after they leave? What happens after WrestleMania? These guys aren't going to mean jack shit after WrestleMania, so what do you do with those guys that aren't featured on the WrestleMania card? Because that was another question of mine as well that I wanted to ask you. What role do you see these guys playing at WrestleMania? Guys like Sandow, Rhodes, Kofi Kingston, et cetera, et cetera.
I have absolutely no idea, and I was actually about to say this exact same thing. WWE doesn't think any of these guys are ready for a championship run, or they're afraid to move on into the new generation. That's why they keep having all these part-time guys. They have Brock Lesnar coming back to face Triple H when he could be facing a younger guy in either Kane, now Cody Rhodes, something like that. Who knows? If you Triple H faced Sheamus a couple of years ago, and that did a lot in for Sheamus's career, except when Triple H came back a few months later and buried him. But then you have. and then you have The Rock facing John Cena for the WWE Championship. While it is a very nice match between two powerhouses, it's really keeping a lot of people away, a lot of the mid-carders away from rising up to the top. And I wonder if it's just there's a lack of people in the main event, which there kind of is. And if the mid-carders just aren't ready, like, would you say Dolph Ziggler right now is ready for World Heavyweight Championship run or a WWE Championship run? I'm on the fence about that. Maybe I think he needs to be groomed just a little bit more. Is Wade Barrett ready? I would say yes. But there's a bunch of other people who I think maybe need a couple more years of growth before they're finally ready. But the WWE has pushed some of these new guys a ton. At times, like if you look at Sheamus back in a couple of years ago, he had his first WWE title run. It wasn't half bad. So maybe they want to push some of these. The way that they've kept all these part timers, it seems to me that they're almost afraid to move on to the next generation to finally push towards the future. And it looks like Chris Jericho keeps coming back. And while he's still a very good wrestler, he's almost going downhill from his peak. Now he's still put on a great match. I mean, no disrespect to him, but his matches are almost taking time away from the younger guys as well. So, I don't know. It's very interesting.
So let's talk about Chris Jericho for a second. That was the guy at WrestleMania 28 a year ago we were talking about right here on this very podcast. Was going to be headlining the event with CM Punk for the WWE Championship. A year later, he's potentially going to be in a match with Fandango at WrestleMania 29. That's a joke of a match right there. And I mean, John Curtis, no disrespect to his ring abilities. He's a great athlete. We saw that this week on SmackDown when he attacked Chris Jericho, which pretty much foreshadowed their match at WrestleMania. This was rumored last week on the Dirt Sheet. I didn't think it was true, but it was apparently. But even still, Chris Jericho, a guy that was in the WWE Championship match at WrestleMania 28, a year later, potentially in the opening match, maybe in a pre-show match. We're going to find out pretty soon. But he's going to be in a match with Fandango, a guy that was in NXT 2 years ago, that just debuted on WWE TV a mere month ago. That's my problem with Fandango at this moment. I mean, the gimmick is okay, and I'm not a huge hater of Fandango, but he's not championship material. I do not see him holding a U.S. title, tag title, UIC championship, whatever. I don't see him in the championship picture at all. I mean, that was the same problem that we had with Brodus Clay. He was a great athlete as a heel. As a face, it's kind of on the fence about that, but his gimmick disallowed him from being in the USIC tag team, whatever, title picture because of his dancing gimmick. Fandango is the same exact thing. He's just a heel. That's why I see no reason in pushing this guy as aggressively as they are. If they have him defeat Chris Jericho at WrestleMania, okay, who cares? But if they have him lose to Chris Jericho, then what does that do to him? What was the whole point of it? You know what I mean? This goes back to the whole thing that I was talking about before. You have a guy like Fandango get a WrestleMania match, but what about guys that have been busting their asses for years? Guys like Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, all those guys that I mentioned before. What about those guys? Those guys have been busting their ass all year to get a match at WrestleMania, but they get screwed out of their spot at WrestleMania for a guy like Fandango who just debuted a mere month ago and doesn't have, you know, he's not like Sheamus where he's skyrocketed to the top or anything like that. This is a lower mid-card talent that just randomly debuted out of nowhere that management is apparently high on. And I mean, again, the match between Jericho and Fandango, it must be good. I'm not going to completely hate on it, but he's screwing other people. He's taking another person's WrestleMania match. This is the same thing that we saw a couple years ago with the whole Snooki crap and Maria Menounos crap, too. They were taking Precious Divas spots at WrestleMania, like Divas such as Natalya that we could have seen the Divas of Doom last year or whatever. She could have been facing. She could have been in that match. Melina, that's one of the reasons why she left the company because she felt like she got screwed out of the match. Kelly that year, too. This year, it's the same thing. It's just with the guys. it's Fandango. I mean, Chris Jericho, his run last year wasn't fantastic. I'll admit it. His run last year as a heel was not the best because he lost almost every single match that he competed in. He did not win one important match except that match against Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam. However, his face character since his return, I've really, really enjoyed it. I mean, as you were saying before, he's kind of had a downfall since he came back, and like you were saying, he's had great matches with the likes of Daniel Bryan, Jack Swagger, CM Punk, and many others. He hasn't done anything. That's his problem. I mean, I appreciate the effort and him putting other people over, but it's gotten to the point where he's putting over a guy like Fandango, who's equivalent to like a Yoshitatsu at WrestleMania. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. His return to the WWE since the Royal Rumble has been a complete waste. The only reason why I wanted to see him back was to feud with Dolph Ziggler, and that was the direction that they were going in at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view when they had him fight for almost 45 minutes in that matchup. They teased it next on Raw, they teased it the next week, they teased it the next week, and after Elimination Chamber, just dropped the feud completely for no apparent reason. They could have had Jericho go over WrestleMania, they could have had Ziggler go over WrestleMania, they could have had that match over the freaking World Heavyweight Championship, but instead they give the world title to a match that no one two craps about in Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. This is my problem with the WrestleMania card. Jericho versus Ziggler would have been a picture-perfect match at WrestleMania that would have made sense, that could have got Dolph Ziggler off huge, and now he's invested and now he's involved in a throwaway tag team championship match instead. That guy's a future freaking world heavyweight champion, and you got him in a tag team title match over two belts and haven't meant anything since September. So that's my main problem. I'm sorry for the long tirade here, but I'm just saying that's my main problem with Fandango, Dolph Ziggler, Chris Jericho, and how badly they've booked the undercard for WrestleMania 29.
I hope someone at home was timing that rant, because that was classic. I clocked you at it. I've clocked you at least 4 minutes. We'll go back and review the tape and see how long that was. My thing about Jericho is he's one of those guys who can fit in anywhere on the card. He can one day be a main eventer, the next day be a mid-carder. And I think that if Fandango was going to face anyone in WrestleMania, Chris Jericho is the perfect guy to do it. Are they prepping Fandango for a bright future that it will be? Who knows? But that's why I think they're testing him out with Jericho at WrestleMania. But you're all right. They're really squeezing people out of spots here. And the WrestleMania 29 undercard is looking not very good. We do have some gems. We have Ryback and Mark Henry. That's going to be a great match. But some of these other ones, Team Hell No versus Dolph Ziggler and Biggie Langston, I don't know. It seems like they focused on the main event and then forgot about the mid-card. They forgot about Dolph Ziggler. I'm like, oh, crap, what are we going to do with him now? And so they put him against Team Hell No. It looks sloppy. It looks very sloppy, and I don't know what the undercard's going to look like. These are all very good performers. You can put on some pretty good matches, but the stories are not there. And that's why I'm really nervous for the undercard. The main event's going to be pretty good, but the first couple hours of the show, I'm really nervous where I have a bad feeling it's going to fall really flat.
That's why I'm so disappointed with the card. I mean, the last, six months of WWE TV, maybe even going back to after WrestleMania 28, or let's say July, because that's when it started to get good, in my opinion. After they went 3 hours, I mean, the episodes of Raw since that point in time haven't been fantastic, but they have been pretty enjoyable, in my personal opinion, and that's when they started to kick up the momentum as far as storylines and whatever goes. They had CM Punk as champion, blah, 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 blah. They were doing all that stuff great for months and months and months. They still are, but even still, you have all this great momentum. Excuse me. You have all this great momentum, and they just cut it short at WrestleMania, and involving all these top tier guys like Dolph Ziggler, like I was just saying, in a tag team title match. This is a guy that I thought a couple months ago, 2 weeks ago, was going to be involved in a world title match at WrestleMania, and you put him in a tag team title match that you'd see in an episode of WWE Superstars any other day of the week. This is what I don't understand. Dolph Ziggler, like you were just saying before. You asked this just a little bit ago when you said, is Dolph Ziggler a potential World Heavyweight Champion? Could he be in the title picture? Like you said, the same thing with Wade Barrett. Dolph Ziggler, yes. Wade Barrett, yes. I mean, let me rephrase that. Yes, if you asked me that a couple months ago back in December, most definitely. Wade Barrett was at the top of his game in the match, his whole feud with Kofi Kingston, his IC champion, and whatever. He was primed to become the World Heavyweight Champion. Del Rio came out of freaking nowhere. And that's no disrespect to Del Rio. His face character has been decent at best. It hasn't been bad, but he's winning every single match he's involved in. He has great matches, but it's just boring. Jeff Swagger's hitting goes for him. It's just boring. The brawl in this week's Raw, it was good. I enjoyed it, but I don't give two craps about that feud. Zeb Coulter was great on the mic the first 2 weeks that he was here. Now it's just the same crap every single week, and I don't like it. It's boring. I don't want to see that match at WrestleMania. Why is that match even over the World Heavyweight Champion to begin with? We've said this multiple times in the past, but that match does not need the World Heavyweight Championship. Jericho versus Dolph Ziggler would have been a perfect match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And like I was just saying, Dolph Ziggler, back at the WWE TLC pay-per-view, December 2012, a mere 3 months ago, he defeated the face of the company, John Cena, in the main event of the pay-per-view, and you got him 3 months later in a goddamn tag team title match at WrestleMania. This is my problem with WrestleMania 29. As you were just saying, they're throwing all these great talents in random-ass matches that have no stories whatsoever. They just figure everyone's going to just buy for the main events and whatever, and that's probably true. People are probably going to see, okay, Rock, Cena, I'm buying. That's probably true because the undercard almost doesn't matter when it comes to WrestleMania. Because last year's undercard was lackluster. It was decent, but a lot of people said it was complete shit. But it doesn't matter because everyone's going to remember the main events. However, it's the fact that just because you got Rock versus Cena on the card just means you can half-ass the rest of the card. Like Jericho, that guy's only going to be, he's not here full-time. This is another issue of mine. Why are you wasting Chris Jericho? He's a guy that you can help put over younger talent. Not Fandango. I mean, someone like that's actually going to be championship material, like Dolph Ziggler. Jericho, in my as far as I know, is only going to be here maybe until WrestleMania, maybe Extreme Rules. I'm not 100% sure, but and if that's the case, why are you wasting Chris Jericho? Sure, he has great matches, but you're wasting his talent on someone that's going to be on competing in dark matches 2 months from now, so I don't understand why you're wasting him too. You're wasting all these part-timers. Like, I mean, I will say that the WrestleMania 29 card does have potential. Like you just said, Ben, Ryback versus Mark Henry match, that looks good. I'm looking forward to that, the Clash of the Titans. They've built that well. Triple H versus Lesnar, surprisingly enough, has been very well built in recent weeks. So I'm looking forward to that WrestleMania. Rock versus Cena, as we were talking about before, I won't reiterate it again, but it's on the fence. It depends what they do in the next 2 weeks. It's just the rest of the card that I have a complete problem with. The Shield match, it's okay. I won't complain about that because it makes sense, but the other match is what I have a problem with. I mean, the guy like the mid-card champions, too, you have them lose every single week. And I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks as to why both championships should be on the line at WrestleMania, but they've completely destroyed both with Barrett and Cesaro in the 2 months, or I should say since the start of 2013, by having them lose every single freaking match they compete in. And at this point, people just take the titles as a joke. And that's what the problem was when Santino was holding the championship. Now Cesaro is no better. He's losing every single match he competes in. So those are my problems with the WrestleMania card. Hopefully, they're actually, you know what, there's no possibility they're going to iron those out in the next 2 weeks before WrestleMania, but whatever. I mean, the rest of the card looks exceptional at best. I'm looking forward to Edge versus Lesnar, Punk and Taker, and Ryback and Mark Henry. Hopefully, the saving graces of the show. And the other matches ended up being good, too. So, overall, I'm looking forward to the show, but hopefully they make the most out of what they got.
The thing that really stands out to me is not only are the Intercontinental and United States Championships not on the line of the card, the champions aren't even featured as of yet in the match. We've got, what, 2 weeks till WrestleMania? That's ridiculous. That's Wade Barrett. Oh, my goodness. I just had one of those moments where I can't even remember who our United States Champion is.
Antonio Cesaro?
Yes, Antonio Cesaro. I can remember his name. Oh, my goodness, that's embarrassing. But they're not even being featured on the card as of yet. And there's no time to set up a feud. They're probably going to be put in some bull crap battle royal at the beginning of the pay-per-view or even in a dark match. And that's just very detrimental to the card. And they really, really need to do something with the undercard because it has potential, but some of these matches just don't make sense. Like, the eighth match is going to be Jericho and Fandango. That was not officially confirmed yet, according to the WrestleMania Wikipedia page. We've got seven confirmed matches. We have Rock and Cena. We have the WWE Championship. We have World Heavyweight Championship. We have the six-man tag team matchup. We have the WWE tag team match. Then we've got Ryback, Mark Henry, Lesnar, Triple H, and Undertaker, CM Punk. The fact that the mid-card titles are not in line, and I never really expected the Divas to be in the show, but they're getting absolutely no attention right now. And I don't know. It seems like the WWE is just half-assing it. And they've had some really good shows the past couple weeks, and they had an opportunity to really go in for the kill in this week's show and make me even more excited for WrestleMania. But the only thing that's really done is got me even a bit less excited for WrestleMania. And just because, I don't know, I feel like I'm going to be bored out of my mind for the first 2.5 hours while we're waiting for the main event matches.
Exactly. That's another one of the issues, too. Like, we've been talking about for months now, the Divas division. I mean, I will say this, I forgot to mention this before, but what they kind of teased this night or tonight on SmackDown was Brodus Clay, Tensai, the Funkadactyls versus Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bella Twins. They've been kind of hinting at that. It's an okay match, but, I mean, I said this many, many times before. I don't want to run another rant about this, but Caitlyn versus AJ, and the prime example of a long-term booking that would have made perfect sense, but they're not doing it for God knows what reason, but whatever, there's no, you can't do that match now. But as long as we're getting the Divas in the card, I'm content, but we're not getting the Divas champion on the card. How the hell do you not have the Divas champion on the card, Caitlyn? She hasn't gotten any airtime on Raw, or I should say she hasn't gotten any match time on Raw since she won the championship in January. That's a disgrace when you have a three-hour show and you're wasting a majority of that time on freaking recaps the entire night. And, I mean, this is the same problem that they had with the division before Eve won the championship back in late August, early September. And once Eve won the championship, they all of a sudden had time for the Divas and storylines in the Divas division. I mean, I understand with the Bellas being back, they have a little bit more attention now, and they're feeding the Funkadactyls. But, I mean, come on, Cody Rhodes in an eight-man tag team match with Brodus Clay and Tensai? This is the same guy that was headlining with WrestleMania. Okay, not headlining, but last year, remember, he was in an IC championship match against the Big Show. 2 years ago, he defeated the former World Heavyweight Champion Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. Damian Sandow is another future breakout star, too. And you're pushing him in this throwaway eight-man tag team match, which will more than likely be a pre-show match at best, which is another thing I'm disappointed in. But, I mean, as long as I get him on the card, I'm content. But we were talking about this a few weeks ago as well, but Rose Scholars versus New Age Outlaws, why didn't they do that? I mean, a few months ago, that was a dream match, but it seemed a lot more likely last week than the week before. Well, it was teased, and they never really officially had their match on Raw. They could have easily had a rematch at WrestleMania. Why not? Why just don't they do that match? No one cares about Brodus Clay and Tensai. They are the most unentertaining tag team I've ever seen in the WWE in the recent months. I love Brodus Clay as a heel. I love Tensai as a heel. Them as faces is a throwaway tag team that no one wants to see, especially at WrestleMania. It's a complete waste of time. Don't even bother doing it. Rhodes and Sandow should be the tag team champions. And as far as the tag team title match goes, I'm okay with that. I'm not going to shit on that much because it makes sense. Because if you think about it, AJ has history with both Daniel Bryan and Kane. So kind of taking that storyline full circle, doing a tag team title match with Ziggler and Langston, I'm okay with that. And it's 10 times better than being Kane and Daniel Bryan for the upteenth time match WWE tag team titles between those two guys in the singles match. That would have been horrendous. But thankfully, we're not getting that. But again, even still, if it was for Lesnar versus H, pleasantly surprising match at WrestleMania, the contract signing on Raw this past week, I found that personally to be very entertaining. Heyman played his role excellently. Same with Triple H and the no-holds-barred stipulation. I've been saying that for months, so I got that one right. So that was great to see. And Triple H saying that his, or Paul Heyman saying, I'm sorry, that if Triple H loses, his career will be over following WrestleMania, which is great to see, but I don't see that happening. Obviously, Triple H is going to win at WrestleMania, no doubt about that, but even still, it's an intriguing stipulation. It's a match that needed it, and I'm looking forward to that match because that brawl could be fantastic and much better than the SummerSlam match if they are allowed to, you know, utilize their environment and whatnot. With it being the whole part and whatnot. So that's another extremely entertaining matchup that I'm looking forward to come WrestleMania.
Yeah, that one should be very good because, especially with the Triple H retirement thing, one thing that I loved is he comes out of retirement for a retirement match. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. But I'm excited to see this match because it's no holds barred. That way, both of these men who are decent wrestlers, but they could just go off on each other. And when it comes to these huge, strong men like that, the Vince World Heavyweight Championship stereotype wrestlers in Brock Lesnar and Triple H, a no-holds-barred match is going to end up very, very well because both of these performers can do very well with it. So that's a match that I'm looking very, very much forward to. And I was hesitant about this match going in, but they've done themselves well with the feud. And I really hope that the match holds up to its potential. And I think there's going to be three great matches on the card. It's going to be John Cena and The Rock, Undertaker and CM Punk, and Triple H Brock Lesnar. I think all three of those matches have the potential to steal the show. And I think it's going to be a very good night for Triple H and Brock Lesnar.
Agreed. I mean, the match at SummerSlam, I believe, even though it was a singles match, they kind of broke the rules a little bit as far as the holds barred go and stuff like that. But I will give WWE this. I like the change of pace that they've been doing every week on Raw by having a different match featured in the main event or the ending segment on Raw each week. This week it was Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. Last week it was CM Punk and Taker. The same thing with the week before. The week before that, the focus was on John Cena's match at WrestleMania, and the week before that, too. So at least they're transitioning the entire show between the three top main events at WrestleMania. So that's great to see. At least they're getting each feud an equal amount of time to shine in the main event of the show. So that's great to see, too. I'm looking forward to all those matches. CM Punk versus Taker wasn't as well booked, but it was still pretty decent. And again, as is last week on Spoilers, at least they're not having CM Punk cross the line by calling Paul Bearer fat or anything like that. They're not disrespecting him. They're just playing. They're just having a little fun with the urn. So that's cool to see. And as we established many times before, the match itself should be fantastic. No doubt about that. The fact that they're making CM Punk look like a non-threat to Taker come WrestleMania. But that's just nitpicking things because the feud up to this point has been very good, seemingly with Triple H and Brock Lesnar. Brock not being on the show has been an extreme disappointment, but hopefully that wrong is righted next week on Raw. But with the three top main events, hopefully those are memorable. The undercard could be better, and my main issue, as we established in my rant before, is the complete abuse of guys like Chris Jericho, Dolph Ziggler, Antonio Cesaro, Wade Barrett, guys that should be on the WrestleMania card. With the excess of top superstars that they have, I understand that, but I mean, you could easily. I mean, I will say this actually. After the IC title matches that we had up this week on Raw, I do see a strong possibility for The Miz versus Wade Barrett for the IC Championship WrestleMania. I do see that happening, and I'm fine with that because it's a first matchup, and they really need to rebuild Wade Barrett as IC champion. I mean, if he drops the belt, I'm okay with it because then he can move on to main event, but he'll have no credibility left by that point in time because they've been burying him to no end in recent months, but hopefully they fix that come WrestleMania too. As long as they get one of the championships, as long as they get one of the mid-card championships on the line of WrestleMania, I'm content. I would have loved the scene too, but it buries Cesaro so much since January that there's no chance in hell that they're going to be starting to rebuild him now. After he's been losing to like Ryback, Randy Orton, he lost to The Miz tonight on SmackDown, he lost to Sin Cara on an episode of last week. Like, who the hell loses to Sin Cara on main event when you're United States champion? That's another thing I don't understand, too. They just make the mid-card champions lose non-title matches for no reason. But I digress. Hopefully they get one of those two titles on the line at WrestleMania.
I Well, with the matches that we're potentially seeing, we've got Chris Jericho versus Fandango, and then we've got the one you mentioned earlier with the Road Cards versus Tensai and Brodus Clay with the Funkadactyls and the Bella Twins. That's 9 matches. Are they really going to have time for a 10th match, for a title match? I don't think they're going to have enough time. I think they've booked themselves solid, and that makes me really upset. Now, I hope in some shape or form that the champions are featured on the card, and maybe they move that tag team title match to the dark match. Or not tag team title match, but the mixed tag match to the dark match. I would be okay with that. But one of the titles has got to be on the line, and I think if you build up Wade Barrett as a legitimate threat, you're going to build up the Intercontinental Championship. But they've got to have Wade Barrett in a prominent role at one of these pay-per-views, especially at WrestleMania. I think it's directly proportionate what they do to build Wade Barrett up will also build up the Intercontinental Championship. And so if they have Wade Barrett in a prominent role at WrestleMania, the Intercontinental Championship is going to be in a prominent role.
Hopefully. I mean, it was a year ago at WrestleMania that the title took a turn for the worse when Big Show won it, and they haven't really recovered since. So hopefully they can get that championship back on the right track. I mean, the match, as I said before, this week on Raw, that triple threat match was excellent. Really enjoyed that. I'm disappointed that we're not getting Jericho in Jericho versus Barrett or whatever at WrestleMania, because that would have been great. But even still, the championship should really go up from here with Barrett as champion, as long as he retains the WrestleMania, because Miz doesn't need the championship. He's over as it is. He does not need the Midgard championship. But, I definitely agree that they need to get the IC championship on the card of WrestleMania. They could put the mixed tag team match to the dark match. That seems like it's much better suited for that. And as long as they get Wade Barrett at WrestleMania match, I'm content, because he wasn't at last year's event due to an injury. The year before that, his match was over in a minute when he faced Big Show King, Kofi Kingston, and Santino in that 8-man tag team match. So he really needs to be rebuilt, because as we established before, he's a future World Heavyweight Champion, no doubt. So if they want him to be a future World Champion, they need to start building him now as Intercontinental Champion by having him defend that title at WrestleMania, hopefully against The Miz. Because with a win over The Miz, the former WWE Champion, it'd be a huge win under his belt, and hopefully getting that championship back on the right track.
And this is one of the things that I wanted for a long time, and I really hope that they feature him in some way at WrestleMania. If they don't, it'll be very disappointing, and I fear for the future of the title after WrestleMania, because I think it'll just keep going downhill unless they have some super match at Extreme Rules. But who knows? I don't know. I'm just getting increasingly nervous that this show is going to be bad. Or at least the first part of the show is going to be bad, but the undercard we discussed this throughout the entire show. The main event should be pretty good, but the undercard is what scares me. And hopefully they move one of those matches to the dark match, possibly the one I mentioned earlier with the mixed tag match. I think that'd be a perfect dark match, but I don't know. I just hope they don't overbook and then leave no time for the main event matches so that they have to be shortened, because it is a 4-hour pay-per-view, but I don't know. I just hope that they don't overbook and not allow time for some good quality match, like the WWE Championship match should be at least 35, 45 minutes. Undertaker CM Punk should be 35, 45 minutes. It's going to be a huge, both these matches are going to be huge matches. I wouldn't shed any tears if the World Heavyweight Championship match was no more than 20 minutes. But these matches need to have quality time, and I fear that an overbooked undercard would be detrimental to the main event in that regard.
Well, yeah, most definitely. That was kind of a similar case last year as well. But we're going to be going off the live stream in the next 60 seconds, guys. So to all those listening live, you can listen to the rest of this podcast, and we tweet out the link following the remainder of the show in the next 15 minutes. So make sure to check back at blogtalkradio.com/PWPradio. Remaining of this podcast, so thanks for listening live. So as you were just saying, and yeah, that was kind of a similar case last year as well, with the card being kind of stacked. Because you remember last year, WrestleMania 28, we had no backstage segments at all. That was one thing that I found really, really strange. The only backstage segment today, I believe they had the event, Flo Rida. Was it Flo Rida? Yeah, it was Flo Rida attacking Heath Slater. And that was it. That was the only backstage segment that they had at WrestleMania. And then after that, they had all the matches, you know, just boom, 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 boom. And all the entrances should take a long time, too. So I don't know how many matches were on last year's card, maybe around 8. Not exactly sure, but if we get the same amount of matches this year. And then again, remember, the World Heavyweight title match last year was 18 seconds. They were so short on time last year, they had to make the, they had to make the World title match 18 seconds. So that goes to show that they're kind of cutting short on time this year as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if they had two matches during the pre-shows, and that will be an hour this year instead of the usual half hour. So I guess we'll have to wait and see as far as that goes. But, yeah, they can't really kill as much time as they usually do because they have a lot of matches on this card. They have a lot of top stars that need to get on the show. And, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, as long as the top matches get enough time, I'm extremely excited for the show as far as the main events go. But the rest of the undercard, it could go either way. But as I said before, and I'll continue to say this, main events are what is or what people are going to remember about the show. The undercard, it's a bonus if it works out well. If it doesn't, whatever. But the main events are what people are going to remember about this show. As long as those deliver, that's what's going to make the show a success. But we'll have to wait and see as far as that goes. But the potential is huge. But, you know, even still, with WrestleMania 30 around the corner, I would not be surprised if this is a throwaway show, just a stepping stone for WrestleMania 30. And we get a better match. We get a better show next year with guys like Cena versus Taker, Lesnar versus Brock. I'm sorry, Lesnar versus Rock, and CM Punk versus Austin, hopefully. But so hopefully they don't take the short way out this year. They don't take a shortcut, and hopefully they do deliver a strong show this year for WrestleMania 29.
Mm-hmm. In regards to your question, there was 8 matches last year with a pre-show.
So,
not including the pre-show match. So there are 9 overall. Yeah, the 18-second World Heavyweight Championship match. Only one backstage segment with Flo Rida and Heath Slater. There's a couple entrances that took a lot of time, and that was The Undertaker's, of course. And then also Rock and John Cena, where they had their entrance, they had the little concert before them when they came out. So I don't know what they're going to do this year. They've got 7 right now. They've got room for one more. They haven't announced a pre-show yet, but you said that there's going to be an hour-long pre-show, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I would not be surprised to see 2 matches in the pre-show, which I would be okay with. And then you get 8 matches, add a title match to the main card. You know what? Then the undercard's looking significantly better if you add a title match. But I hope that they don't have a title match on the pre-show. That would just be a waste of time. Or that would just really undermine the championships because we've seen the United States title on the line in the pre-show at least 3 times that I can remember, if not more. I'll have to double check on that. But I hope that they do something with the titles. They've got room for approximately 2 matches on the pre-show, and I hope that they put a title match on the undercard. And I think after that, then we're set for WrestleMania. Then we can start to really get excited.
Yeah, here's hoping. I mean, the pre-show could be good, too. Last year, we got the WWE Tag Team title match in the pre-show and whatnot. But, I mean, overall, I won't shit on the show. I mean, as much as I ranted, as much as I criticized it, I think it could be a good show. I mean, as long as they manage their time well and they deliver. I mean, and then again, the main events, as predictable as they are, same as winning, Taker's winning, Triple H is winning. That's it. We know it. It's, you know, it's obvious. But that doesn't take away from it. I mean, the matches themselves should be entertaining. I mean, look at the matches that we got. Rock versus Cena, okay, not a 5-star classic, but the story that it told last year has me intrigued for this year's matchup, too. Punk versus Taker, needless to say, match of the night, hands down, going to be great. Lesnar versus Triple H, going to be the brawl of the night. Maybe a little blood like we saw a few weeks on Raw, maybe not. Doesn't matter, though, because it's going to be a strong brawl regardless. And then the Del Rio Swagger match should be a nice technical match. If it's given enough time, it's not 17 seconds long to break the record from last year and to punish Jack Swagger. That could be a great match too. So with all those main events in mind, I think those show, you know, the main event matches bring a different feel. Each match brings something different. A technical match, a brawling match, the classic and another technical match in CM Punk versus Taker, and the story told match with Rock versus Cena, Greatness versus Redemption and whatnot. So all these matches bring something different to the table. That's another thing I like about this WrestleMania. It's something for everyone, especially, I mean, not given the fact that maybe not every match is appealing, but as long as getting everyone on the card, that's all I'm looking for. In some capacity, I mean, it's better to have Ziggler in a tag team title match than to not feature him at all. Same thing goes for Jericho. It's better to feature him in a throwaway match with Fandango than to not feature him at all. So I will be appreciative of that.
Yes, definitely. And, well, I'm happy that they're featuring Dolph Ziggler, and they need to feature Wade Barrett. I will say this for the next 3 weeks repeatedly. They need to feature Wade Barrett. They need to feature Wade Barrett. It's absolutely essential for his future and for the future of the Intercontinental Championship for him to be featured on the WrestleMania card, because he's a future world champion. That much is obvious. He is one of the big parts of the future of the WWE. He needs to be featured on some of these early WrestleMania cards where he's already made a name for himself as the leader of the Nexus, as an Intercontinental Champion, as potential World Heavyweight Champion. And to stall him at this point in his career could really hurt him down the road when they're trying to establish him more as a legitimate threat, because it's one thing to win matches on Raw and SmackDown. It's another thing to win matches at pay-per-views, to win title matches at pay-per-views, and in the last stages to win at WrestleMania. And that's where their hesitance to put some of these guys on the card really just makes me extremely mad.
Exactly. I mean, like you were just saying, I mean, even after WrestleMania, I mean, that match isn't featured many part-timers, and it doesn't at all. I mean, with Dahlia versus Swagger, they're both going to be there following WrestleMania, so I would not be surprised to see that feud continue past WrestleMania. As much as I don't want it to, I expect it to, but even still, like we were talking about with David last week on spoilers, they could just take the world title off that match, following WrestleMania, off that feud, and they could give it to Dolph Ziggler. And like we were saying before, they had so many fresh faces that they could put in the world title picture, from Dolph Ziggler to Wade Barrett to another guy like Ryback, and he's another prime example as well, a guy that should be world champion. I mean, I didn't want him to win the WWE title when he was feuding with CM Punk a few months ago. I don't think he's ready. But after he defeats Mark Henry at WrestleMania, I think he will be ready for a world title run following WrestleMania. I think him versus Big Show or something that he's had a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago on SmackDown, him versus Dolph Ziggler would be a nice feud over the world title. Him versus Wade Barrett. Come on, think about that for a second. Nexus members. Four Nexus members together. Four NXT together over the World Heavyweight Championship. That is pretty good as well. So hopefully they start featuring those guys past WrestleMania when all the part-timers are gone. Because, I mean, when guys like The Miz and Tony Cesaro, Wade Barrett, the Rhodes Scholars, Kofi Kingston, all those guys aren't consistently being featured in all the shows. But the fact that they have so many part-timers coming in the moment, like Taker, like Rock, like Lesnar, all those guys, like Triple H, those guys take away time from, you know, from the top star, from the mid-card talent. So hopefully they regain the spot on TV following WrestleMania. But so I am positive about that. I'm optimistic about them getting a push following WrestleMania. So here's hoping about that.
Yeah, definitely. My opinion, it's very hard to push people after WrestleMania period, where they really start to push people and start to make the new summer storylines, or where they start to kind of form them, but it all starts at WrestleMania. This is where feuds go to end, like you saw a couple years ago, I think it was CM Punk and Rey Mysterio. That feud was, I believe, it was the third match at WrestleMania, but. Or maybe not, I'll have to double check on that. But WrestleMania is a point where you can start whole new storyline and push a lot of new people. But I think the people who are going to be pushed need a starting point at WrestleMania. They need a place at WrestleMania, and that's where you need to have Antonio Cesaro, you need to have Wade Barrett, you need to have Dolph Ziggler. And while I'm very glad that they have Dolph Ziggler on the card, he should be in a much more prominent place. Wade Barrett should be Wade Barrett should be featured in a place Antonio Cesaro should be featured in place. Actually, what could be kind of cool would be Antonio Cesaro and Wade Barrett, champion versus champion.
Listen to this. I don't know if you watched SmackDown tonight, but did you watch SmackDown tonight?
I did not. Too many March Madness games on. I recorded it.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to tell you? Would it be okay if I told you one of the results of the matchup?
Yeah, sure.
The Miz beat Antonio Cesaro in about a 2-minute matchup. But in following that matchup, they teased the continuation of the feud between him and Wade Barrett. Now, what if you did this? Miz versus Cesaro versus Wade Barrett. You put the IC and U.S. titles in line in a 2-out-of-3 fall count. 2-out-of-3 falls count anyone. No, wait. 2-out-of-3 count falls match. They did this at WrestleMania 16, I believe, between Kurt Angle, Jericho, and Benoit for the European and IC championships. I mean, you don't have to unify the titles, but whoever gets the first fall in the first match gets the U.S. title, and the second fall gets the IC championship, whatever, something like that. That'd be a good match, too. I mean, you could do Cesaro versus Dara versus Miz, get all three of those guys in the card instead of featuring them in a battle royal, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to go watch that match. I didn't know that happened, but that could be really cool. A 2-out-of-3 falls match in a triple threat. That'd actually be really cool. That'd really help both of the titles, especially because I think if you put them together, they're going to look better, or rather the champion's going to look better. So rather if it's Miz or Antonio Cesaro or if it's Wade Barrett, then that champion's going to look pretty strong by carrying two belts around. And that way you give prominence to both titles and you get them both on the card. That's actually a genius idea. Why has the WWE not put you on the creative team yet?
I don't know. I'm just buying my time. Hashtag book that. But even still, I mean, I don't like the unifying championships today. Unifying championships idea, as far as world titles go, as far as mid-card titles go, whatever. But I think it'd be okay in a sense, because if you really think about it, what mid-card do we have? We have Miz, Cesaro, Wade Barrett. Kofi Kingston doesn't even count at this point in time. He's, like, irrelevant. He hasn't won a match on TV since, like, 2012, so disregard him for a moment. Road Scholars are practically back together, so disregard them. We have nobody in the mid-card, so why do you have two mid-card titles? It doesn't make any sense. So just put them together. I mean, we always bitch about having the mid-card champions lose all the time. Maybe, like you were saying, if you put the championships together, that will make the champion all that much stronger. I mean, that could be wrong. Maybe they'll just treat that guy like shit, too, but you never know. It's worth a shot. So, I think that'd be pretty cool if they put both titles on a guy like Cesaro, who could definitely use the championships to elevate himself in WWE. That'd be great to see. But I think it's worth a shot because we have no mid-card at the moment. We haven't had a mid-card in a longer time. And, without the brand designation and whatever, I don't think it really matters. So, yeah, just put both belts in one guy, and maybe it will stop or prevent them from treating both mid-card champions so badly, as we've been seeing in recent months.
Yeah, definitely. It would make the champion look extremely strong, and it would give prominence to both of the titles, and I think that could definitely work, and I'd love for that to happen, especially with the way that you programmed it with Cesaro, Barrett, and The Miz, because all those people really need to be on the card. The Miz needs to be on the card. He brings some star power. Wade Barrett and Cesaro are both up-and-comers who need some feature time at WrestleMania. Now, with Kofi Kingston, I have a bad feeling that he's going to be one of those people who in 10 years, the people on WrestleEnigma.com and ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com are going to be writing and saying, oh, what a waste of talent, and the WWE should never have released him. Because I have a feeling that if they don't have anything for him in the next couple of years, they're just going to end up releasing him. And it's almost like he's going to become the Shelton Benjamin of sorts. A guy who was so close to a main event feud, but never really got the chance. And it would be a talent on the way, but I just don't see a place for him. You know, he's been an Intercontinental Champion and U.S. Champion so many times that the only way for him to go is up. But they need to build him as a main event champion. They need to build him as a main event persona first, and they really haven't. So I'm really hoping that they do something with him, because otherwise he's just stuck.
Actually, speaking of Kofi Kingston for a moment, a report came out this week indicating that he might turn a heel. I mean, these are the same reports that were indicating that John Cena would turn heel at WrestleMania, so I take it with a grain of salt, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Could you potentially see Kofi Kingston going heel? Because as you just said, there's nowhere for him to go but up, and he hasn't changed his character since he debuted over 5 years ago, so I mean, it's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot, but he's almost one of those guys where you can't turn him heel. Like, you remember R-Truth. Well, actually, that worked a little bit, but it'd be interesting to see. I guess it's worth a shot to just do something with him.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like you just said, R-Truth is another guy that I never expected to turn heel. I could have never imagined him as a heel. But with the whole talking to himself thing and the whole crazy thing, that was a whole new gimmick. They can give Kofi Kingston a whole new gimmick as a heel. I mean, again, you won't know unless you try. So I think it's worth a shot, because they're not doing anything with him right now anyway. So I think it's worth a shot. I mean, give him some superstardom, because I think the concern was that it's necessary for him that fans will never take him seriously as a top-tier superstar, because he's been acting the same way for the longest time. He's been pushed so consistently and inconsistently over the last 5 years, and no one's ever going to take him seriously as a threat to a world championship. So I think it'd be cool if we could see him heal, because, excuse me, as we just said, R-Truth, another guy I never expected to turn heel, and when he did, he was one of the top heels in the company, feuding with John Cena over the WWE Championship in the main event of pay-per-views. Could we see Kofi Kingston in a similar role? Possibly. I mean, Cena's going to be champion again in a few months, so I think it's worth a shot. I mean, just go for it, try it. If it doesn't work, turn him back, but I think that'd be a pretty good idea.
It could definitely work. I mean, they have to come up with an entirely new gimmick for him, and not just the same old generic heel. If he's going to succeed as a heel, they need an entirely new character. Like we saw with R-Truth, that provided with some very funny moments. The Little Jimmy thing was awesome. I loved that. They really need to come up with something brand new for Kingston. If they just do have him in with the same type of generic heel stuff that heels tend to do, then his character's not going to work. If they're going to turn him heel, they've got to put some effort into it.
Yeah, like you were just saying, I mean, the whole new gimmick thing with R-Truth, that was something fresh. That was something innovative. Could they do something similar with Kofi Kingston? Possibly. I mean, the creative team, ironically enough, is not all that creative nowadays, but I mean, as long as they come up with something fresh and something new and not some retread of a gimmick, as you just mentioned, I think it's a possibility, especially after WrestleMania, when they're not going to have anything to do with most of the guys and they're not going to have a direction with most of the mid-carders. So I think it's worth a shot. I mean, they teased putting back R-Truth and Kofi Kingston together a few weeks ago. I don't know what happened with that, but that could have been the perfect jumpstart for a Kofi Kingston heel turn. Have him turn on R-Truth and jumpstart a few that way and give those guys something to do. Because R-Truth had a massive standout this week on Raw. No one gave two craps about whatsoever, because those guys are never featured on Raw. R-Truth is never featured on Raw. And he's been going downhill since he turned face over a year ago. So, yeah, turn Kofi Kingston heel, try it, give him something new, have him, you know, smoke a bong or something, come out, you know, just give him something crazy like that. I don't know, they did it with R-Truth. They had him smoke a cigar or something like that the night he turned heel in England. So, you know, give him something like that. I don't know, give him something new and fresh and see what happens.
Have him smoke a blunt. That'd just be awesome.
Yes. It'd work well. On 420 next month or something.
Yes. And have him revert back to his Jamaican character.
Yeah, finally explain the whole thing.
Yes, and then tag team with Jack Swagger.
Yes, so. Exactly. That's exactly what it says to say. Yeah, do hashtag we people tag team. It'd be brilliant.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so there's lots of potential for Kofi Kingston, but they probably wouldn't be able to keep it a PG show. Are they even allowed to show that on TV? I'm not even sure if the FCC allows that.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, they had, as I just said before, they had R2 smoking on TV on back in England. I mean, it's banned in England arenas to be smoking in arenas, so that's why it was controversial when R2 was smoking the night that he turned heel. But, yeah, smoking a blunt on TV, I don't think it would be appropriate in today's age. But I think it would be something cool, but, you know, I don't think that we'll be seeing that happen anytime soon. But if they did go something along those lines, we'd be seeing new tag team champions, undoubtedly, or a new stable.
Now, are they going to either Seattle or Denver anytime soon?
Potentially, I'm not really sure.
Let's see. Because it's legal there, they could actually do it, but I don't know. But Kofi Kingston definitely needs a new direction in his character if he wants to succeed. And hopefully, if they have him bring a new direction, then they could finally push him to the main event where he really belongs. He's got potential to be a main event star. He just needs the push. He needs the right direction. And I hope that they come up with something for him.
Exactly. I mean, he's a great talent in the ring. He's had great matches with the guys like Dolph Ziggler and whatever in recent weeks and whatever. He just needs direction, that's all. I mean, his pushes are so inconsistent. And I just feel bad for the guy because his pushes keep on getting tugged from underneath the rug, you know, right under his feet. Every single time he looks to be going towards the main event scene, but then he just gets tugged right away from him. So it's a shame. He has a lot of potential, but I don't think he's ever going to get there as a face at this point in time. It's just hopeless now, but he just needs a whole new character, and the best part about it is that he's open to it. John Cena, I think, some people have said that he wanted to turn heel, but creative wouldn't allow him to do it. I don't know what the deal with John Cena is. I personally believe that he does not want to turn heel, hence why we haven't seen it. That's just my beliefs, or from what I've heard. Kofi Kingston, on the other hand, has specifically stated in interviews in the last few months when he's been asked about it, that if he would turn heel, he'd be open to it. He's always open to new things, according to what he said. So he'd be okay with it if they turned him heel. I mean, who he is now is who he is in real life, the smile-and-go-happy-go-lucky Kofi Kingston. That's fine and all, but that's who R-Truth was, you know, before he turned heel and whatever. And he ended up being one of the greatest things in WWE for the year that it lasted. So, you know, just try it and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll just have to try it, and hopefully it works. If they put some effort into it, they give him a pretty good character, it could definitely work. So do you have anything else you want to say before we go off the air?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I think this week in WWE was pretty lackluster, but hopefully with 2 weeks remaining until WrestleMania, only two more additions of Monday Night Raw until the biggest show of the year, hopefully kick up the build for all the matches on the card into high gear. And I'm looking forward to the event regardless.
All right. So thank you all for listening to tonight's late night special edition of Spoilers Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at SirVen_WE. You can find my writing and this podcast at WrestleEnigma.com. And also check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com for the best wrestling editorials and news on both of those sites. You can email us at spoilerspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at spoilerspodcast.
And you guys can like my Facebook page at Graham GSM Matthews. Follow me on Twitter and tout at save_us_GSM. Check out my Bleacher Report articles at Graham GSM Matthews by simply searching that. Check out my website for all the WWE TNA rumors, recaps, and more at nextwrestling.weebly.com. Check out my YouTube page at Ted DiBiase Prices 9. Also, check out my other radio show, Save Us GSM, every Wednesday night on PW247 at 10 Eastern Time, 9 Central Time. And, of course, listen to Spoilers every Thursday evening at our usual slot. More than likely, we'll be going back to that next Thursday at 5:30 Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/PWB Radio. So, as I said, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.